Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for having me on, Ian. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you again. I spoke with Jordan Fiegel this morning, and he said, you got to get Jan. He'll be perfect for this. So just to kind of set the table a little bit, the federal government is now in its the shutdown is in its fifth week. Louisiana hasn't really felt the full brunt of it now, but that may be about to change. Food stamps, small business loans, farm programs, even flood insurance, they all rely on federal money that's now frozen. A lot of people haven't detected any of this pain yet. Can you explain why it's taking a few weeks for it to show up?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, if you're a federal employee, you've been feeling this shutdown for a long time.
Sure.
And if you're somebody who just bought a house and you need flood insurance, you have felt it. So I don't want to minimize the pain that people are feeling who have been feeling this directly.
Mm-hmm.
But most people aren't federal employees. But I think there's a deadline coming up this week that is significant, and that is the food stamp program. It's called SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. These are federal benefits that are administered by the state. So the state picks up some of the administrative costs, but all of the benefits are paid for by federal dollars.
Mm.
That's about one in five Louisianans. Almost 800,000 people rely on these benefits. People with low incomes, a lot of disabled people, elderly people, rely on this program to put food on the table. And the Trump administration has said that they don't have money to pay these benefits starting in November. And that is, of course, a huge deal because we're talking about a lifeline for a lot of households. So that's the bad news. Now, there is a debate on whether or not the administration really has the money because they have a contingency fund in the federal government. So I suspect if the Trump administration really wanted to get these dollars out the door, they could, but they're not going to do that. That's the bad news. The good news really is that the state legislature is getting ready to step up and pay some of these benefits, okay, really all of the benefits, with state dollars until the shutdown gets resolved. And this just happened last Friday. And really, our organization is sometimes very critical of the Louisiana legislature, but this is one time when they came together in a bipartisan fashion, Republicans and Democrats and the governor, and said, look, these benefits are important enough to enough people that we're going to pay them out. So I think if you're in that group, that those families that rely on these benefits, it's not a done deal yet. They still have to get this through the Senate this week, but it looks like those benefits are going to get paid.
That's great. I am encouraged by that. I'm pleased that people in Baton Rouge could come together and, kind of tackle on this very important issue. How sustainable is that, though? Where does that money come from? How long can that go on for?
Well, it can't go on forever. That's a really good point, and people need to understand because, look, it's about $150 million a month that gets paid out in these benefits. Of course, this is money that goes straight into the economy. It gets spent in grocery stores, markets, farmers markets. People use it to buy basic necessities. So a lot of retailers depend on these dollars for their bottom line.
Right.
So the state is taking some of this out of Medicaid. And it's not that they're cutting Medicaid. They're just saying we have money that we appropriated for Medicaid. This program is run out of the health department. So, they're reprogramming some of those dollars, but really the intent is to use money in the rainy day fund. Because the state has money set aside for a rainy day. Now the hope is, I mean, obviously the federal government's not going to be shut down forever. At some point this is going to end. We don't know when. And I think the hope is that the federal government will pay back to the state any money that they use, but there's no guarantee of that. And I've got to say, Senator Cameron Henry mm-hmm. from New Orleans and Metairie, who's the president of the Senate, was quoted as saying, we're not doing this with the expectation that we'll be paid back. Obviously they hope they are, but because they think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, so I feel, I guess, optimistic, cautiously optimistic that the SNAP benefits mm-hmm. will be there when they're needed, so we don't need to belabor, the sky is falling about that. I am more concerned about the ACA subsidies and Medicaid funding generally getting caught up in this fight. If the government shutdown ends and the CR passes and those subsidies go away, what does that mean for Louisiana families who are reliant on those programs?
Oh, that's a great point. And this is, of course, the sticking point in the whole shutdown. The whole reason that the Democrats are holding out and refusing to vote for the clean CR is because they're concerned about these enhanced premium tax credits. And if you're not familiar with this, these came out in 2021. And these tax credits, it's really subsidies. The federal government subsidizes insurance policies for people with low and moderate incomes. And it's really what keeps health insurance affordable for millions of Americans, about 300,000 people in Louisiana who buy their health insurance mm-hmm. on the federal marketplace. It's what put the word affordable into the Affordable Care Act, right, otherwise known as Obamacare. And those subsidies are going away as of January 1st, if nothing is done. They were left out of the big tax and budget bill that they passed back in July. You remember the one big, beautiful bill? Mm-hmm. I think the hope had been that they were going to be included in that deal. They were left out of that deal. So if Congress doesn't reauthorize these tax credits, 300,000 people in Louisiana with low and moderate incomes are going to see their health insurance premiums go up double, triple, in some cases quadruple, and open enrollment starts in November. So a lot of people are going to see these price increases show up in their mailbox very, very soon. And what happens there is one of two things is going to happen. Some people are going to look at this price increase and say, forget it, I just can't afford insurance, I'm just going to take my chances. But some people, particularly people who are sick, who really, use their insurance every month. Maybe they have a chronic disease. Maybe they have a medicine that they can't afford without that coverage. They're going to pay whatever it costs to keep their coverage. And that's going to put a huge financial strain on a lot of people. So, again, this is if you're not insured through the marketplace, maybe it's not something that's front and center, although everybody's health insurance is going to go up. But this is a very big deal to people who buy these plans through the exchange. And it's a very big deal to healthcare providers because people are still going to get sick, whether you have coverage or not. And they're still going to show up in emergency rooms if they don't have that health insurance.
Right.
So it's going to have a ricochet effect on hospitals, clinics, pharmacies. And people are just not going to be as healthy if you don't have the medicine and you don't have access to healthcare when you need it.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. Somebody texted in earlier at the beginning of the show and said, well, those people can just go to charity hospital. And I was like, well, charity hospital's not open right now. But speaking to your broader point, if you just say people that don't have health insurance, they can still go to the hospital and get health care. Yeah. And it's the most expensive possible way that we can deliver that. And the hospitals don't want to eat that cost. So they would rather have insured people coming in for preventative care than uninsured people coming in with a bleeding breast tumor or whatever. You know, it's like that's just the stupidest possible way to go about it.
Absolutely. No, anybody who's gotten primary care through the emergency room knows that it's a recipe for long waits. And it's the worst and most expensive place to get health care. Mm-hmm. And that hospital, you know, if you go into that emergency room, they're going to treat you and they're going to stabilize you. And if you don't have insurance, you're still going to get a bill in the mail that most chances are you're not going to be able to pay. So now you have a hospital that provided care that they're not going to get paid for. You have a patient who got cared for in the least efficient way possible, and now they've got a bill that is going to stay on their credit rating and follow them for a long time. And again, they're not going to be any healthier for it. So it makes sense for everybody to have health insurance, and it makes sense to keep that health insurance as affordable as we can, because if you were somebody who's kind of in that low-income working cohort, then health insurance, if left to the free market, is simply too unaffordable for most people. That's why we have the ACA in the beginning.
And without health care, almost nothing else is possible. You know, if you're right. not healthy, you can't start a business, you can't start a family, you can't buy a house, you can't take care of other people around you. I mean, it's the cornerstone in many ways of like a functioning modern society. And if we don't have that, you know, we're in bad shape, fellas. Jan, I don't want to get particularly political about it, but I did catch some flack a couple weeks ago for suggesting that since Republicans have the trifecta, you know, both houses of Congress and the White House, it's ultimately on them that the government is shut down. And people pushed back and said, well, no, Ian, because the CR has to pass the Senate, where, you know, you got to get 60 votes. And okay, let's talk about Senate math notwithstanding. The bill that the House sends to the Senate, if they know that the bill they are sending to the Senate has no chance of passing, then they bear responsibility for that. You know, it's not as if there aren't House, Republicans in positions of leadership who are from Louisiana, who understand what these subsidies mean for their constituents. And yet they seem unable to do what Jeff Landry and the state legislators have done and said, well, let's come together and figure out a way to not, you know, needlessly ruin a lot of people's lives right now. But I guess they just can't get there.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's a very narrow Republican majority in the House. They have 53 out of 100 seats in the Senate, and you're right. It takes 60 votes in the Senate. And if they really wanted to get something done, they would do what legislators in Baton Rouge do, and that is to sit down and reach across the aisle and make a deal. And I understand politics, and we are all divided. But I think, you know, Baton Rouge has really shown the way, and that there are some areas that really should be beyond partisanship. And one of them is keeping health care affordable for people with low incomes who go to work every day and simply want the security of knowing that if they get sick, they're going to be able to see a doctor and not get bankrupt. Or if they have an accident or something. I mean, the reason you call health insurance is, you know, none of us know when we're going to have a medical emergency. But when that medical emergency comes, and if you don't have insurance, that's not only a terrible healthcare event, but something that can financially ruin you if you don't have insurance.
Jan, let's pause here for a moment. When we come back, I'd really like to speak to you about some of the other less obvious programs that might be at risk here. I mean, we've been talking about ACA subsidies for a long time and SNAP benefits for a long time. But maybe what hasn't got as much attention, at least on this program, is USDA loans, flood insurance, things like that. We're heavily reliant on federal dollars, and the future of some of those programs is uncertain. So, Jan, we'll talk about that when we come back. If there's anything you'd like me to ask our guest, Jan Mueller, who's the executive director of Invest in Louisiana, I'd be happy to do that for you. Shoot me a text, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back after this. On
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. And we're back here with Jan Mueller, the executive director of Invest in Louisiana, talking about what it means for Louisiana if the federal government shutdown continues. I would like to get back to Jan speaking about the farmers, our state's farmers. They cannot access USDA loans or programs right now. How is that going to affect upcoming planting and harvest seasons?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't want to hold myself out as an expert on Louisiana agriculture. My sense is that we're in the harvest season right now, but I think a lot of farmers are looking at taking out loans and getting ready for planting season, and a lot of that borrowing activity comes through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which, of course, also finances the food stamp program. So those loans are on hold. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many farmers are waiting for loans right now. But if you are somebody who is looking for a loan through the USDA to finance your planting, then certainly that's not going to happen until the shutdown is lifted. The same thing for small businesses who are trying to access new loans through the Small Business Administration. A lot of that activity is on hold. When we talk about the shutdown, it's not a full shutdown. It's a partial government shutdown. Mm-hmm. And the administration has a lot of flexibility to decide which employees are essential and non-essential. But a lot of these employees who we might think of as non-essential because they are bureaucrats who process loans and do paperwork, they become really essential if you need that service that they are providing. In my business, we do policy analysis. The federal government puts out a whole lot of very useful information that businesses and organizations use to make decisions every month. Jobs report is the big one. Things that tell us about the health of the economy, a lot of that data is now on hold. Again, the world's not going to end if the jobs report doesn't come out on time. Mm-hmm. But if you put these things on hold for a while, it's going to really be disruptive for a whole lot of people in ways that we don't know about when this information is coming out.
We've also heard about flood insurance renewals being frozen. What risk does that invite to homeowners here in Louisiana and in the real estate market here?
Well, again, not for most people aren't going to feel this effect. But if you are buying a house and that house is in a flood zone and you're getting a mortgage on that house, you're not going to get a mortgage until you have flood insurance. And right now, new flood insurance policies are not being processed. So, most people aren't buying a house, a new house in a flood zone in October or November of 2025. But if you're in that group, you're in a holding pattern. Your sale isn't going through because the National Flood Insurance Program has expired and is not going to stand back up until this shutdown is lifted. We're not talking about a huge number of people that are affected by each one of these programs that are on hold. But when you add it all up, it becomes very disruptive. And then, of course, you have all the federal employees who have not been getting paid. Mm-hmm. Some of them are being furloughed. And then some of them are still being forced to work. Air traffic controllers, for example, are considered essential workers, which they are. So they've been working this whole time, and they're not getting their paychecks. And I think what you're starting to see is a lot of them are maybe taking some sick leave or deciding that, you know, I'm not going to go to work this week because you're not paying me. And so we're starting to see flight delays. So if you have an air, you know, if you have a flight planned, your chances of that flight getting delayed is probably a lot higher today than it was a few weeks ago.
Okay, so like we said earlier, you know, the governor and the state legislature are coming together to come to a solution, hopefully, on the SNAP benefits. But, Jan, what lessons should Louisiana really be learning from this anyway? Should we be, you know, diversifying revenue streams, building bigger reserves like that rainy day fund? Because, you know, Louisiana depends heavily on federal dollars. I love you, Louisiana, but we're a taker state. Y'all, that means we receive more federal aid relative to our contributions. We have a high dependency on federal funding. Jan, is there an opportunity here to sort of bend that curve down and come to a new arrangement in the future?
That's a good question. That's certainly a conversation that needs to start happening. We have been lucky in Louisiana that our state budget has been in pretty good shape the last few years, and the rainy day fund has been built up and built up. You know, 10, 12 years ago, that rainy day fund was almost empty, but we have a lot of money in our state savings account. But you're right, Louisiana depends on the federal government for a huge chunk of its budget, basically for two reasons. One is because of Medicaid, which is an enormous program, and most of the funding for that program comes from the federal government. And we happen to have a big Medicaid program because we have a large population of people with low incomes here in Louisiana. The other big chunk is disaster recovery. And here in Louisiana, we are always in the process of recovering from one or more natural disasters. We are the most disaster-prone state in the entire country. So a lot of that money kind of cycles through our budget. So long term, absolutely, we should look for ways to keep this from happening. But, you know, the long term solution to this is to really address poverty at a systematic level. So we maybe won't need as much federal dependence. But I think it's also it's no shame to say that these programs are there for a reason. And it's there to make sure that people have who may not be rich still have the dignity of being able to put food on the table every month, to see a doctor when they get sick. We should not shy away from those programs, but we should be looking for ways to lift people out of poverty so that they won't need those programs on a permanent basis.
Boy, I appreciate what you had to say there, Jan. Thank you so much for your time. You're working your way. Really nice having you back on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll see how much farther we get in this shutdown, okay?
Anytime, Ian. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Take good care. We'll be right back to kind of wrap things up and hand it over to the second guest. They're live out at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Let's take a look at traffic. We'll be right back. Courtney?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.